In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The story begins while it is still dark.
The long night had not yet surrendered to the dawn. A chill hung in the air, and the world, as it tends to at 5 or 6 in the morning, was still in suspended animation. In the diffused dark, one cannot see so clearly. Case in point, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, and in the darkness, she could make out only the stone and nothing more. She didn't look in. She simply saw what she saw, and she deduced that grave robbers had come. Sometimes in the dark, we leap to conclusions. She tells the disciples, "They have taken him." They might have been Romans or robbers, and the disciples took the bait. They ran flat out, most likely because they thought that yet another injustice had been done, and so they were showing up to chase down the robbers. I really don't think they thought it through. They arrive to find out not only that their Lord is gone, but that the tomb itself had been transformed. This burial site that was all about finality and farewell, and even containment, was now a vessel for openness and mystery. That which contained death was now a springboard for life. It was the most beautiful empty thing they had ever seen. Stone had given way to softness, heaviness to lightness. There was no body. But there was also something else that was decidedly missing. It was now a space cleansed of fear and dread, of ego and anxiety. Now, each time we look in the tomb, in fact, each time one of the characters from the gospel looks into the tomb, we each see something quite different. Peter looks in and he finds nothing, nobody except some linens neatly rolled up. That's a curious detail, isn't it? Wonder why it was so important to mention that piece. I think it means a couple of things. One, it means that the resurrected Jesus is still human. He took the time to touch material things and even carefully folded them as if starting his day. Now, this is how human I think he was. He might have even taken a few tries to get that fold right. I know that when my spouse folds linens, they are as crisp and precise on the very first go as you can imagine, but I have to try like 3 times to get it right. And if it's a fitted sheet, Lord have mercy. I don't even think Jesus can fold a fitted sheet. That Jesus takes time to do something human and real says something important about God's timing. The disciples were running. They were out of breath. Their adrenaline was pumping. They were a picture of urgency. But Jesus wasn't. This evidence would suggest that he had taken his sweet time, right on schedule as always, because God's pace is not our pace. But in the little things, those little Benedictine moments when our chores are our prayers, we pace ourselves along God's timeline, and our hearts and our eyes become open to things that we had not seen before. Mary Magdalene looks into the tomb, and she sees something quite different. But it must be said, Mary is still holding on to something. She is clinging to something very tightly. She's clinging to what she saw in the dark, what she thinks she saw in the dark, which was informed and shaped by the profound loss and grief that she and all of their friends had gone through in the days leading up to that. She's holding on to what she thinks she saw. She's holding on to her heartbreak so tightly that she doesn't even notice the angels sitting in front of them. She interrogates them as if they aren't two angels sitting in an empty tomb. She says all she can do is repeat, "Where have you taken Jesus?" This is sadness. This is grief. This is our rational minds trying to map the irrational, which sometimes leads us to miss the very miracles that are right there in front of us. And Jesus snaps Mary out of it when she calls her by name. "Mary," she says. Because a third time she had already asked him, she keeps getting it wrong. She said, "Was it you? Did you take him? Where is he?" "Mary," he says, "the good shepherd who calls his own sheep by name, calls to them and leads them out." He calls to Mary, and she is converted. Jesus, the particular and human one who folded his own laundry that day, calls his beloved by name as he calls out to each and every one of us. Let me step back for just a moment and ask what it must have felt like to go through those days of agony, to have walked through what we now call the Passion, to have seen their friend, their Lord, their teacher destroyed, and then to suddenly wake up on the third day and all of a sudden everything seems for just a moment to be back where it was. To confusion aside, do you think that this was an all better moment, right? "Hey, glad that worked out. All's well that ends well." I think something pretty profound had changed. And if everything just sort of went right back to where it was, as if nothing had happened, we'd be in a very strange place indeed. And any one of us who has suffered the loss of someone that they love dearly has wished that it hadn't happened. And sometimes we might even ask the question, what if they came back and everything could be as it was? What if? I've asked it. I'm sure many of us have asked it. But you know, so too have ancient storytellers asked that question. In fact, quite a few modern filmmakers have asked that question because it's a story that comes up a lot. And you know what? The answer is always, it doesn't go well. Because death is a part of life. We cannot simply erase our mortality and call it a day. Indeed, death is the very husk in which new life emerges. You see, Jesus does not erase death. Jesus transforms the tomb. And that is every bit as joyful. He says to Mary, "Do not hold on to me. The morning sun was getting higher in the sky, but we are in many ways still in that place of darkness and mystery as Jesus, this fully human one, has emerged from the tomb of fully, in the words of David Kelsey, a God-related being. Our world has changed. Our new world is anchored not on mortality and death, but on resurrection and the eternal love of God. Jesus is with us to the end of the age, but we cannot hold so tightly that our belief becomes containment. To believe is to turn towards God's future, towards radically open hearts and an embrace that we can scarcely imagine. But we don't quite get there if we hold on to it too tightly. Belief means seeing Jesus resurrected, taking away the sting of death, and promising us that it is not the final word, not for those we love but see no longer, not for ourselves, not for this world. Belief also means letting go. Letting go of our fear and our ego and our need to recreate this world in our own image. Letting go of all those things that fail to honor the fullness of who God created each of us to be and what God created this world to become. Letting go of all those things that keep that stone firmly in place when our hearts long to break free and pour out into the world. As a kid, I always heard this story, and I imagined that the stone was pulled away by a pair of the burliest angels that God could find. It makes sense, right? How else is it going to move? But maybe those are even the guys who were sitting there on top of the slab when Mary walked in. We don't know. But I do wonder if the transformation of the tomb itself was so profound that it released an energy that could not be contained, something so strong that even the stone had to give way. For the tomb, that place of death and decay and separation, had become a place, a space of recreation and new life. And that was something that nothing could hold back. Death has been transformed. The tomb has been recreated as a vessel for life. And our world is changed forever. My friends, we have seen the Lord. We have seen Jesus in the darkness of the morning and in the light, the glorious light of the new day, and our hearts have been set on fire. The tomb has been retrofitted for something new. It's the first ever adaptive reuse. And this time, it's for God's purpose. That which was built to contain death is now a channel for liberation and life. The stone is gone. The door is open, and our hearts have been set free. Free to love, free to live as children of God, free to believe and to know that love is stronger than fear, love is stronger than death. Love is stronger by far than any stone that would separate us from life itself. Amen.